knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In a crux, that's Christianity, and it has to do with being crucified with Christ, which is a tough thing to comprehend. It's a tough thing to do. It's like, how do you do that? I mean, I've struggled with it. I've been saved since 81, and I've struggled with just being saved. Everyone says, you know, crucified with Christ. You're a new creation with Christ. Well, how do you do that? You know, and sometimes there's self-help things where people say, well, yeah, you got to do this, and you got to pray this much, and you got to have this, and you got to do that. And all of that is really kind of pointless. And I won't give you all the gory details, but just to let you know where I came from and why this hit me so hard. I was a victim of extreme abuse as a child. My survival technique was disassociation. I'd check out. I wasn't there. Well, this opened the door for Satan in my life. I had some Christian influence in my life, not much. It was pretty weak. I'm sure they said prayers, and God honored those prayers. But Satan sifted me as wheat for most of my life. He had a foothold, because I was not grounded in reality. I was grounded in a delusion, in an illusion. I just wasn't there. So he could do pretty much whatever he wanted to in my life. Finally, at the point of suicide and just total disaster, the Lord brought somebody into my life that preached the gospel directly and with power, and it turned me around. I got saved. Well, that was great. I felt great for about 2 or 3 weeks, you know, walking on clouds. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm forgiven, thank God. But, you know, Satan had that old foothold. And it was like, I had this former life. I had all these scars. I had all these experiences that formed me and created the personality that I had. And letting go of that, going before God and saying, take it, was really hard to do, even though it wasn't a good thing. But it was my survival. It was life and death. And I was believing that that was my life. And so I hung on to it, even though that was the lie. Just like in the garden, Adam and Eve, they believed a lie. And when they believed that lie that Satan told, they identified with the lie. And that was my life too. I had identified with the lie. That was me. That was who I was. And that was a real hard thing breaking loose from that. And I've been studying communion, went on a website, and this guy breaks it down, and he has, you know, multitude of scriptures. But just the one of being crucified with Christ, it's like, well, how do you do that? It's just like, you know what? You just make yourself willing. Willing to let go of it all. Willing to let go of it all, no matter what it is. No matter what you think, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, it's nailed to the cross. That's why Jesus came. That's what God provided that body for, was for us to put our sin upon. That was destroyed so that we could perform his will, so that we could be made new enough, or new, complete, not new enough, but completely new, so that we could do his will. We can't do our his will, you know, if we still got 1 foot, you know, over here. You know, it's a little hard to do. I mean, God saves us, and I think he blesses us from time to time, but basically, I was wandering through the wilderness. You know, I'd come out of Egypt, I'd eaten the bread of affliction, you know, confessed my sins, got forgiven, you know, passed through the waters. I think that was symbolic of Christ's death and resurrection in a way. And so then I'm in the promised land, but I'm not able to enter into, I'm in the desert, not able to enter into the promised land because of unbelief. I hadn't totally accepted my identity as a Christian. And recently, I got that identity as a Christian. Don't know, there wasn't any struggle with it. There wasn't any, you know, this is what I did. I did A, B, C, and D, and woohoo, you know, things happened. It was just like, you know what, God, I'm so tired of just getting my butt kicked. You know, turn around, just all that stuff comes back, you know, then my ego would rise up and just like, oh, Lord, why did I do that? I just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And it's insanity. It's that insanity that hung on to me. And I think everyone before they're saved really is insane. They live in an illusion. They live in that delusion of they're in control. They're in control of their life. They're in control of their fate. Or they live in the illusion that someone else is in control of their life and their fate. And neither one of those is true. Neither one is true. So for me, being crucified with Christ has set me free. And I just, you know, my knees are like shaking. They've been shaking all morning. I can hardly stand up every time I start thinking about this. And it's just a revelation. I pray that everyone else will get, if everyone doesn't have it already. But that's pretty much my word. It's been a long journey out of Egypt. I've been stuck in the desert for a long time, but I think most Christians are. I think we do wander through the desert until God kills off all the unbelief in our life. And I think once we reach that point where we completely identify with what the Father calls us and calls us to, until we completely identify with that, we will be wandering in the desert. And it's just a fact of Christianity. For me, anyway, that's the way it's been. And I'm real excited to see what the Lord's going to start doing now. That's going to be very exciting. I'd like to finish up with this scripture, and then we can start serving communion. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And leaven is sin. So a little bit of sin in our life, it leavens all of our life. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So today's bread is unleavened bread. So they can serve the bread now. And,
Sure.
See, two things. The scriptures tell us that it is, I think, it's an 11-day journey.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It took 40 years.
From Kadesh Barnea into the promised land. So the question I have is then, why does it take 40 years, right? Mm-hmm. They wandered 40 years in the desert. Sometimes it kind of takes the 40-year period for him to kind of get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is, however, of the million people that came out of Egypt, a million Jews. You had 600,000 men, so you figure about, you know, 60-40. Even if you had 400,000 females, there's a million people. How many people entered the promised land?
Two.
Yeah. So, what we're just saying in this word is that, and we're entering the communion now, it may take a little bit more house cleaning. It may take a little bit more of total exposure. There may be a little bit more work that he needs to do within my life than maybe what I think. He may want to go a little bit deeper, because I think he's talking about full possession, right? Mm-hmm. He's talking about loving the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, not most of it. So, as we look to the communion, and David, you know, take over, but as we look to the communion here, perhaps there's something a little bit more, a little deeper, that we can all have here, that will be those pure vessels that Malachi speaks about. The purity in this hour. That's, of course, another beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God. Okay. So we're talking about a full cleansing, a full process, a full redemption process, right, Marty, of what you're talking about. Outstanding.
Okay, could we just pass the communion at this point, and who else do we have can help with this? Rick, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for him. Pray for him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
As we partake today, Marty, wasn't it a blessing what he shared?
Absolutely.
Jeff shared.
Thank you.
He's speaking from a point of revelation. And as we partake of communion, we experience a deeper revelation. This word is a revelation to our hearts and transforming, because it is revelation. So we bless it.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this opportunity to partake of your body and your blood. Lord, you provided a body and we provided the sin. And Lord, as we take this bread and we confess our sins before you, Lord, you take them from us. And you pour out that blood and you forgive us of our sins. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the forgiveness of sins, that we may put those sins on the cross. And we give thanks, Heavenly Father, that you endured our punishment and you have risen to eternal life. And we are equal partakers in both your death and your resurrection. Thank you. Okay.
Thy kingdom come.
simple, humble faith, cry out for the full redeeming power to be accomplished in all of our lives. As we position ourselves, Father, now with simple openness of spirit, with the full deposit, the full life, all of the promises, the provisions of comprehensive redemption and fulfillment of the positive life which is Jesus Christ our Lord. We simply embrace and we appropriate it now, and we partake of thy body together.
As we partake of your cup, Lord, we receive this morning a deeper revelation of your blood that was shed on our behalf. By your blood, our sins have been forgiven. Because of your blood that was shed for us, we've been translated into your kingdom. We have a new identity.
Yes.
A new life. We're new creatures.
Yes.
We just allow this revelation to penetrate deeper into our being this morning, setting us free from illusions and delusions and lies, that we can totally behold who we are as you see us.
Yes.
The new identity that's created in your truth. We drink this morning.
Amen.
I think we all know this. He is the great Redeemer. Let's keep reaching.
Again, I want to thank all of you for making the effort to be here this morning. Marty, special thanks and blessing to you for sharing not only the revelation that God gave you, but sharing your heart in that revelation. That was a real blessing. We bless you. I hope you can all stay for our meal. We'll have it soon after now, probably about 15 minutes in the
room behind the kitchen. Bless your week. We're dismissed.